Bruce invited Sissy and me down to stay at his house in the country. We'd had a debate about ghosts, and Hugh had challenged us to stay the night in what he said was a haunted room. It had seemed like a lot of fun in town, but when we got there, it was silent, damp. It had an atmosphere of, well, oh.
Sorry, the place seems a bit deserted. The servants are all on leave over Christmas.
There was dark oak panelling everywhere, and bare stone floors, corridors leading off into the gloom, and a musty smell. The shutters were closed. Everything was under dust sheets.
What a lovely old house. It is a little bit chilly.
I'm so sorry. I only usually come here in the summer months to walk on the fells and so on. I like there's a fire in the drawing room. We can sit there until it's time.
I thought you found some papers in a cupboard under the window in here.
Yes.
Well, there is no cupboard under the window in here.
Isn't there? Oh, so there isn't.
I thought you said you had compelling evidence, so much for veracity.
A grain of truth. Not necessarily in every detail. One has to embellish a little in the telling. I didn't find those papers here, actually, although they do exist.
You merely embroidered the facts.
Yes.
Hardly the way to inspire confidence. If you're not simply a charlatan, why did you do it?
In this particular instance, I wanted to bring the house in, you see. Mm. Pave the way for your invitation. I would probably have mentioned it anyway, but I wanted it to come up naturally.
That's very devious, Mr. Wallace.
But now you're here, you must see my intentions were good.
Oh, yes. So, when do we begin our vigil? In the Red Room?
Oh, you can go in any time after it gets dark. Leave it as late as you like. The less time you spend in there, the better, I should say.
What kind of a ghost is it?
I wonder if I should tell you anything about it.
Well, isn't there some sort of story attached?
More than one. All very unpleasant. There's the story of the cruel, insensitive husband who decided to give his nervous young wife a scare on her wedding night. And, of course, there are stories of people who have tried to spend the night there.
And been found the next morning.
Yes.
Oh, how? How found?
If I tell you too much, you'll know what to expect. Much better not.
Why? Because if he plants ideas in our minds, it won't be a fair trial. We might begin to imagine what we've been told to expect.
Exactly. So what shall we do while we wait for it to get dark?
I can't imagine.
I'll have a look in the kitchen, see if there's the makings of a sandwich.
You're not going to carry on telling ghost stories, are you?
Of course.
Oh, don't tell a scary one, please. Not in this gloomy old place.
You said you liked it.
I hate it. It's horrid. And nobody here but us in the middle of nowhere. I wish we'd never come. Oh, don't tell a scary one.
I suspect Mr. Wallace is taking pleasure in trying to frighten us. I see no reason not to try to do the same to him.
But what about me?
I found some cheese and biscuits in the pantry and something to drink. We can have a picnic. Now, who's going to begin? Miss Fairfield?
By all means, if you really want to.
Why not?
Violet?
Oh, go on, then.
You have to imagine a hotel in the main square of a market town.
Done that.
It's Christmas time. Cold weather.
No need to imagine that.
A group of commercial travellers are sitting round a fire in the hotel lounge, upstairs from the bar. They start to tell ghost stories.
As one does.
To begin with, it's too noisy and too bright. But they turn the gas down, and gradually, the streets outside grow quieter.
Man told me once that he travelled down the Great Western with a ghost and hadn't the slightest suspicion of it until the inspector came for tickets. My friend said the way that ghost tried to keep up appearances by feeling for its ticket in all its pockets and looking on the floor was quite touching.
Oh, now then,
it's not a subject for jesting. I've never yet seen an apparition myself, but I know people who have, and I consider that they form a very interesting link between us and the afterlife.
Oh, yes?
There's a ghost story connected with this hotel, you know.
I've never heard it.
Oh, dates back a long time. You've heard about Jerry Bundler, Edie?
Oh, just odds and ends, sir. There was one girl here what said she saw it, and the governor sacked her prompt.
My father lived in this town and knew the story well. He was a truthful man, and I've heard him say more than once that he saw the appearance of Jerry Bundler in his house.
Oh, who was this Bundler?
London thief. Pickpocket, highwayman, anything he could turn his dishonest hand to. He was run to earth in this house one Christmas, nigh on 100 years ago. Took his last supper in his very room, and after he'd gone up to bed, a couple of Bow Street runners who'd followed him up from London went up and tried the door. It was stout oak and fast, so they went out into the yard, and one of them climbed up a ladder up onto the window sill. The others saw him crouching on the sill. Then there was a sudden smash of glass, and he fell on the stones at their feet. In the moonlight, they saw the white face of the pickpocket peeping over the sill to see what he'd done. Some stayed in the yard, while others ran into the house and helped to break the door in. It took them a while, but they got in at last, and the first thing that met their eyes was the body of Jerry Bundler, dangling from the top of the four-poster by his own neckerchief.
Which bedroom was it?
That I can't tell you, but the story goes that Jerry still haunts this house, and my father used to declare positively that the last time he slept here, the ghost of Jerry Bundler lowered itself from the top of the bed and tried to strangle him.
I wish you'd thought to ask which bedroom.
Why?
Well, I shouldn't care to sleep in it, that's all.
There's nothing to fear. Ghosts can't hurt you. For my own part, I should rather like to see one. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Night.
I only hope Jerry will pay you a visit.
Let's have a drop more whiskey, Edie.
I should like to put that old humbug to the test. Suppose I dress up as Jerry and go and give him the chance of displaying his courage.
No.
Only for the joke. I've got some things upstairs. I'm going to play in the Rivals this Christmas with our lot. I've knee breeches, buckles, that sort of thing. I'll give you a full dress rehearsal.
You've a theatrical bent, have you?
They say I'm pretty good.
I bet you're a level sovereign you don't frighten me.
Done. I'll take the bet to frighten you first and the old gentleman after.
No, leave the old man alone.
Well, I'll try you first. Keep the gas turned down, mind. Won't be a minute.
He's crazy on acting. Thinks he's as good as anybody. I won't let him have a go at the old man. It won't matter, as long as he gets the chance to do it to us.
Well, I hope he'll hurry up backstage. It's 12:30 now.
Nearly half an hour went by. The men smoked and chatted, and they had to send Edie down to the bar for another bottle. Only a moment later, she came flying back up the stairs.
He's coming!
What? Edie, you look a bit white around the gills.
It was the suddenness of it. And besides, I wasn't expecting to see him in the bar. There's only a glimmer of light down there. And he was sitting on the floor, right behind the bar. I nearly trod on him.
Oh, Edie.
He took me unawares. I wouldn't have gone down there by myself if I'd known he was there. And I don't believe you would either, sir.
Nonsense. I'll go and fetch him.
Oh, you don't know what it's like, sir. It ain't fit to look at by yourself. It ain't. It's got the... What's that?
Oh. Hurst?
What is it? What's the matter? Hurst, put the gas up, Edie.
But what's the matter?
Oh, I've seen it. Oh, Lord, I'll never play the fool again.
Seen what?
Tim, it's a ghost.
Nonsense.
I got my togs on, and I was coming down the stairs, just capering down as I thought I... it ought to do. I felt a hand on my shoulder. I looked round and saw it. A wicked little head and a white face. Oh,
that's what I saw in the bar. Horrid it was.
Most unaccountable.
I won't go down that bar again by myself now, not for £50.
And it's talking about the thing that's caused it, I expect. We've all been talking about this and having it in our minds. We've been sort of forming a spiritualistic circle without knowing
it. It's odd they should both think they saw something. Who'll come down to the bar with me now and have a look?
You go if you like, sir, but I'll wait here if you don't mind.
Very well.
Well, rather him than me. Do you
shh,
think...
Shh. Did you see it, sir?
No. How are you feeling now, Hurst?
A bit better. I dare say you think I'm easily scared, but you didn't see it.
Not at all. I think the bets are off, though, don't you?
Well, I'm going to bed. Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
No need to be like that.
I won it, really. I've never seen anyone so scared in all my life. Sort of poetic justice, isn't it?
I might turn in. You won't turn the gas down before I get up the stairs, will you, Edie?
I'll come and sleep on the floor outside your room if you like, sir. So long as you don't mind the light on all night in the corridor.
Oh, not at all. Well, I'm going up. I'll see you up there.
What about you, sir?
Oh, don't worry about me. I don't believe in ghosts. I've got a little revolver. Anything comes into my room, I shall shoot it.
Oh, do you think that would hurt the spirit, sir?
Maybe not, but the noise would be a comfort to me.
Would you wait with me while I put the light set down here, sir? I'd be very grateful.
Of course.
I'll light a candle. Sorry, it'll be a bit dark when I turn the gas off. There. What was that?
There's someone at the door.
The door slowly opened, and a white, leering face with sunken eyeballs and a close-cropped bullet head appeared at the opening.
Oh, God!
For a few seconds, the creature stood, regarding them, blinking in a strange fashion at the candle. Then, with a sidling movement, it came a little way into the room and stood there, as if bewildered. They watched with a horrible fascination as the creature removed its dirty neckcloth and its head rolled on its shoulder. Again, it paused. Then, holding the rag before it, it moved towards them.
Oh! Light the candle! Light the candle! There's something on the floor! I can feel it moving!
Oh, no. Hurst!
You didn't shoot. I told him not to. I told him. Oh, God.
Another of your ghost stories without a ghost, Miss Fairfield.
But the maid, she saw it, sitting on the floor in the bar. And the man himself, the man who dressed up, he saw it.
I suspect Miss Fairfield would suggest that was all Hurst's doing. He was preparing the ground by acting afraid himself before trying to scare the others.
Quite right. Oh, I see.
It's a little contrived.
I wouldn't say that.
Then would you like to tell another story? Now?
Who, me? No. What was that?
Someone at the door. I'll go and see.
Violet, don't be so jumpy.
I can't help it.
It's a telegram for you.
For me?
Here.
Oh, dear. What can it be?
Oh, it's Father. He's not well. I must go back.
Oh, Violet.
I've asked the man to wait. He can take you to the station.
I'm so sorry.
Now, don't be silly. I'll get your things.
Sissy, come with me.
What?
Come with me.
Why?
You know why. I don't want to leave you here alone.
Oh, I shan't be alone. Mr. Wallace is here.
You know what I mean. Alone with him.
What do you think he'll do to me?
Oh, I don't know. Please come.
I can't. I can't back out now. Anyway, I don't want to. I want to see the Red Room.
Oh, Sissy, please. I've got a feeling.
What feeling?
About this place. About him.
I've given your case to the man. He'll take you straight to the station. There's a train on the hour.
Sissy, please.